From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the third day of May, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, investigators are still looking for the reason behind the West Texas retail fertilizer plant explosion. There's a fresh bad economic news from Europe, and a court in China has issued tougher criminal guidelines to be imposed on those responsible for tainting the food supply. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later. Farmers in the Midwest have until the third day of June to sign up for the ACRE program. I'll have more on that decision-making process. And as we finish out our program today, we'll talk with agricultural climatologist and meteorologist Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. And it all comes to you on this Friday afternoon from Illinois Public Media, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Let's check in on the numbers from Chicago as they settled up on this Friday afternoon. Futures finished the day mostly lower. The nearby contract for the May soft red winter wheat at $7.11 and a quarter, a settlement price there down 7.5 cents. July at $7.21. The harvest month finished 7.5 cents lower as well. The hard red in Kansas City finished the harvest July at $7.78, down 12.75. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, nearby May futures, a settlement price 2 cents higher. It was the only gainer for the day in the corn or the wheat. July futures $6.61 and a quarter in the corn pit, down 0.75 cents. And September corn at $5.79 and a quarter cents, 4.5 lower. December futures $5.53 and a half, down 5.5. The March contract $5.63 and a half, 5.5 cents lower for the day. May futures next year 5.5 cents lower at $5.71 and a quarter in the corn pit. From the soybeans now, nearby May $14.55 up 14. July 15 higher at $13.87 and a quarter. August soybeans $13.35 and a quarter up 17. And November's at $12.21 and a quarter, 17 and a quarter higher. January soybeans at $12.28 and three quarters for next year up 17. Bean meal down 80 cents. Bean oil up 74 cents on the day. Live cattle finished the August at 120.197 and a half. That's down $1.90. The August feeders at $147.50 were down $2.15. And June lean hogs at $92.17 and a half finished 65 cents lower. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour for the afternoon. June contract in the crude oil at $95.47 a barrel, $1.48 higher. RBOB gasoline on the day finished at $2.82 and four tenths, that's 4 1/10 of a cent higher for the afternoon. And the ethanol at $2.70 and 3 tenths finished down 1/10 of a cent. RBOB gasoline to the ethanol spread is 25 7/10 of a cent. That's 4 1/10 of a cent narrower than it was yesterday. And natural gas at $4.06 and 8 tenths, up 4 3/10 for the day. Heating oil on the afternoon finished at $2.88 and 1/10 of a cent. That's 2 3/4 of a cent higher for this Friday afternoon. Gold futures finished up at $1,464.20. That's down $3.40. And the U.S. dollar at 82.12 is down 0.09. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. From the National Weather Service, showers are likely, possibly a thunderstorm. Cloudy and a high of just 72 degrees. Just 72. It feels pretty good still, doesn't it? Southeast winds around 14 miles an hour, gusting to 20 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation in the area set at 70% for this afternoon. That's at 80% tonight. Showers and thunderstorms, of course, are likely. A low of 53. Tomorrow, 80% chance of rainfall, a high of 61. Saturday night, showers likely mainly before 8 in the evening. It'll be cloudy, a low of 49. 60% chance of precipitation Saturday evening. And on Sunday, a 40% chance of showers. Cloudy and 67 Sunday night. Showers continue. 8 p.m. will be about the time they should stop. Mostly cloudy skies and a low of 50. And then finally on Monday, partly sunny and a high near 70. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with climatologist Jim Angel.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It is the third day of May, a Friday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us to look at the futures markets is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
You're right. Those warm temperatures sure do feel good, Todd.
Yeah. It's been a long time since we've had warm temperatures. It really is nice to have 65, 70, 75, sometimes even close to 80 degrees. It feels awfully, awfully good. But it also makes people feel like we ought to have a crop up and growing in the field, and that's just not the case yet for corn or soybeans for the most part.
No, I was going to say, I've had a lot of calls in the last 3 days from the people that listen to you and others west of Bloomington. They're starting to really feel pinched at this point in time, and I think that's probably a good place to start with the end of the week, because the weather updates at midday were kind of surprising. If you looked at them face value, you would have thought, I think, that the Dease corn would have been heading towards its highs for the day instead of back towards its lows. But I think, and that's because there's another system coming in the middle part of next week on the updated models that essentially says after Wednesday everything's going to get scrubbed again if these models are accurate. But that's the catch. I think the reason the trade didn't bite into that apple, so to speak, was because the midday models haven't been representing a very good picture in terms of accuracy, and that this cutoff low this past week and what we're dealing with right now has been back and forth, and people who were supposed to be getting rain by now have not. Others who should have been out from under it are not. And so I think the trade kind of backed away from trading the weather at the very end of the day.
Hey, December corn this week on the weekly charts picked up 29.5 cents.
Right.
It settled at, what, $5.53.5. Down 5.5 actually for the day, but up 23.5 on the week. And I went back and looked to see when the high was in that contract. It was September or Labor Day weekend or thereabouts of 2012 at $6.65. So we're $1.15 off the top of that. But we're in a completely different situation, of course. We're late, but that doesn't mean we're not going to get a corn crop planted. What do you think producers ought to do?
Well, I think they've already told me what they're going to do for the most part. The ones that were stuck with deciding whether they were going to put anhydrous or chemicals down for corn earlier this week, whether they were in Kentucky or whether they were in northern Indiana near the lake, which they've been running for 3 or 4 days now, or whether they were in spots in Illinois that were able to go a little bit this week as well, or whether they were out west further, they pretty much said to me, I would rather push it right now with the idea that we're going to get higher prices for December corn on lower yields, and that my revenue will still be better on corn, even if I have 125, 130 bushel yields. If corn is back up at $6.57, that's still going to cash flow better than trying to go to beans. So I think they've already made the commitment, and that's where some of the acreage numbers that I've been playing with ahead of the USDA report next week, I didn't build as many bean acres in from the corn as I was originally thinking I would.
Hey, speaking of yield and total crop production, have you taken a look at consumption for the coming year? Because that'll make the biggest difference, I suppose, in what price looks like. We certainly don't need a 14 billion bushel crop, but if we end up with, what, a 12.5 or 13, we might make it perfectly fine, I suppose.
Yeah, this is something that was being talked about during the week and probably took a little bit of the bullishness out of the corn market, because some of the private analysts out there were saying, yeah, maybe we will only have about a 13 billion bushel crop, or maybe even as low as a 12.5 billion bushel crop, but we're only going to need 12 billion bushels of total demand anyway. I'm kind of a contrarian at this point from what I can tell, Todd. I'm closer to a 12.9 total demand number for corn, because I do think that exports this past year were historically low, and it's real unlikely that we're going to have exports that low. I also continue to think that we're going to be feeding pretty good and also having a pretty good domestic market from a standpoint of ethanol. So I'm up closer to 13 billion bushels, but there's at least a couple I've seen private estimates that have been floating around in the news wires that are down around 12.5 billion bushels for total corn demand. But you're right, that will make a difference. I think it goes back to it makes a difference until you look at the global numbers. The global numbers are still going to be historically tight. The United Nations FAO latest report reiterated that again, I think it was late last week, saying we're still going to not really build supplies at all globally, and our stocks-to-use ratios are still going to be down towards the bottom of the 20-year levels, even bottom of the 5-year levels that we've been carrying here lately.
Can I explore the export number with you just a bit more? Because there are some that have simply said, you know, South America, Argentina, Brazil in particular, have picked up part of that export market for corn and look to be a pretty good supplier. The world may stay turned there. Are you saying simply that even if they're in the marketplace, that the supply of corn is so tight that the U.S. Will come back as a primary supplier of the corn market?
Yes, that's right, and I just don't think wheat's going to be as big a competitor. I am estimating that wheat-corn spread to play a much more favorable role in terms of corn foreign demand than it has the last few years. I also would expect that we'll see the dollar not be as negative of a factor, especially when it comes to countries like Japan and South Korea. We also saw today, or this week I guess it was, maybe it was this morning, but China raised their currency ban. In other words, they're allowing their currency to appreciate more and increase their buying power. I think we're going to see China play a bigger role in whether it's United States corn or whether it's Brazilian corn or Argentine corn. They've been out of the market the past few years. We've kind of gotten used to that. I am estimating that they'll start to be a bigger role as we go forward here.
Well, can you give us a date on that one? Because that would be a good time, huh?
Yeah, you know me in speculation, Todd. It's like two sides of the opposite coin.
Hey, okay, so you're feeling pretty bullish for the corn market. I'm assuming, given the numbers you have given, that you're not terribly worried about the size of the corn crop in the United States yet. That tells me that maybe you might have a different view for the livestock producers and how much they might think about locking in for the coming year.
Yeah, in fact, the hog guys, I've been starting to lock in this week, doing some summer marketings for the pork side of the equation, given the weak export sales. And also, if we go back down towards that 5.25 level in the December corn, that's where I'll really get eager to get some feed needs locked in for the corn. You're absolutely right. And I think it goes back to corn is friendly in my analysis up to a certain price. I think that's the best way to describe it. And I think to make it more simple going into next week's report, I essentially have two things on my agenda for next week, the report and the cash markets. And the weather is kind of a sideline issue because the weather should automatically be included in the price. And what I want to see technically is can the December corn and November beans and July wheat all get above their pre-grain stocks report levels, those old highs right around 573, 575 area in December corn, 1281 in November beans, and 740.5 in wheat in July wheat. Very close to those levels when it comes to corn and wheat, quite a bit of distance away when it comes to the beans. But if you get back above those closes after next week's report, I think that changes the look of and the trend in the market and probably brings in the commodities funds and also brings in the end user demand, two things we continue to lack.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time.
You too. Thanks for having me, Todd.
That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report, as usual, on a Friday afternoon. You can hear Mike again anytime you'd like on our website. He'll be posted there about, 3 o'clock or so Central Time this afternoon, if I do my raw work properly, at willag.org. That's willag.org. You can listen to him on the phone not long after that as well at 217-244-94. Well, that's my phone number, 217-333-3434.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers.
In agricultural news, investigators using high-tech equipment and conducting 370 interviews still don't know what caused the West Texas fertilizer storage facility to explode and kill at least 15 people. Agents are using digital mapping of the plant, rakes, shovels, and front-end loaders to go through the dirt and rubble over an approximately 15-acre site. Authorities have not yet begun to look through an approximately 90-foot-wide crater left by the blast. Officials are also trying to reconstruct as much of the plant as possible. Chemical tests thus far have only revealed fertilizer at the site. A new European Union economic forecast says the recession in the euro area will be worse than expected, with unemployment remaining at record levels. The EU says that gross domestic product in the 17 EU countries that use the euro will shrink by 0.4% this year. That's 0.1 percentage point worse than the EU had forecast back in February. Unemployment across the eurozone is expected to hit an average of 12.2%, up from 11.4% in 2012. China's top court has issued guidelines calling for harsher punishment for making and selling unsafe food products in the latest response to tainted food scandals that have angered the public. The Supreme People's Court today says that the guidelines will list as crimes specific acts such as the sale of food excessively laced with chemicals or made from animals that have died from disease or unknown causes. Despite years of food scandals, China has been unable to clean up its food supply chain. In the latest scandal, Chinese police have found meat harvested from rats and foxes that was sold as lamb after it was processed with additives. Brazil hopes to reach an agreement to export corn to China when Brazil's agriculture minister visits the Asian state next week. Brazil's new agriculture minister says that he would also like to see the Chinese government lift a ban on Brazilian beef and import more pork, chicken, and corn from the country. China last year banned imports of beef following reports of a case of mad cow disease in China. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program will post to our website by about 6 o'clock Central Time USA today. Our panelists in studio include Dale Durkles, Elaine Cubb, and Bill Gentry. On the phone line from Indiana Grain is Tommy Grisafi. It all happens during Commodity Week, posted to the website by about 6 o'clock tonight. Now, up next, you know farmers in the Midwest have until the third day of June to enroll in the federal government's ACRE program. I'll have more on the decision process. ACRE stands for Average Crop Revenue Election. It was a pilot program of sorts included in the 2008 Farm Bill. Producers could and still can sign up for the ACRE program. When they do, says University of Illinois Extension Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnittke, there are some trade-offs.
The essential trade-off in 2013 is that you have to give up 20% of your direct payments. And on most Illinois farms, direct payments will be somewhere between $18 and $25. So 20% of that, you're giving somewhere up $3.50 to $5 per acre to enroll in the ACRE program.
Additionally, unlike some previous years, though, signing up for ACRE this year are tied to the program for just 1 year, 2013. Now, it's not necessary to have been enrolled in the program in any previous year. And Schnittke says the one-year commitment makes the decision to enroll or not much easier. He's run the numbers for corn.
And we have a table, actually, on our FarmDoc website. But essentially, if we're at normal or average yields for Illinois corn yields, ACRE will pay if we have below 450 market year average corn prices. So, and it can make sizable payments if we get down to $4 per bushel market year average corn price. So low revenues will cause ACRE payments in 2013.
And therein lies the catch. Over the next month, a farmer must try to predict what the average cash price of corn is going to be statewide for about the next 18 months.
You have to make the decision by June 3rd, we did some looking at it, and we would estimate that about 27% of the time acre will pay on corn. So 27% of the years, if we could repeat 2013 100 times, 27% of them acre would pay. And it would, on average, pay, including those 0 years, about $13 an acre. So when it does pay, it's going to be in the $20, $30, $50, even $100 an acre range. So, you know, chances are acre won't pay, but it will pay big if we have really low prices or low revenue caused by low yield. So it's sort of an insurance policy. You give up $3 to $5 now in direct payments for the possibility of larger payments if we have low revenue.
You can read more from Gary Schnitke about the acre decision on the Farm Doc Daily website. The address there is farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On a Friday afternoon, let's check in on the cash grain market. Bruce Bostard is here from the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. Good afternoon to you, Bruce. I know they're... Well, maybe they are moving. Is anybody planting in your area?
Not right locally. I've heard a little bit not too far away. Rains last night right in our area, anywhere from 0.4 to 2 inches, so all over the place.
And then have they been calling in with the higher prices and asking questions and, more importantly, making any new crop sales?
A few new crop sales, not a whole lot, some interest, some nervousness. If we ever can get into the market, I think it's a crop development or crop progress question as much as anything, where some guys would like to have some sales on, but it's hard to pull the trigger on a new crop sale when you're constantly being rained out.
And they're anxiously looking forward, I suppose, to the Monday afternoon crop progress reports?
Yep, one of these days we might hit double digits.
You know, I had a conversation on Monday morning with Emerson Nafziger, and I think the average trade guess was 9%, and he emailed me after that, and he said, well, if you add last week and this week, you can get 9%. So it's behind, and it looks like it's going to stay behind.
They're not going to do much change this week.
No, probably not. What does that mean to your cash grain market locally for the spot bids? Anything?
Spot bids have improved a little bit, partially because the old crop is going to have to last a little bit longer. We've seen nearby basis improve on both corn and soybeans, probably more so on the soybeans. New crop numbers just steady on the corn, actually seeing a little bit of weakness on some of the new crop bean numbers out there.
And what are your bids for the day?
We are at $6.90 on nearby corn and $14.73 on beans.
Thanks so much, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us on the Closing Market Report for a Friday afternoon. I'll be back in just 2 minutes. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
It's National Raspberry Popover Day. The raspberry was a native bush to Turkey, and as early as the 1st century BC, was gathered from vines at the foothills of Troy. William Prince established the first raspberry plant in nurseries in the American colonies in 1737, and Luther Burbank is credited with introducing a number of raspberry hybrids into American horticulture. On this day in agricultural history in 1654, a bridge in Raleigh, Massachusetts, began charging a toll for animals while people passed for free. In 1844, William Atwater was born, an American scientist. He developed agricultural chemistry. After receiving a Ph.D. from Yale for his studies on the chemical makeup of corn, he turned his attention to the effects of fertilizers in farming. Later, he determined the chemical makeup and nutritional values of fish and animals. In 1910, Howard Ricketts died, an American pathologist. He discovered that Rocky Mountain spotted fever is spread by cattle ticks and that typhus was caused by a similar organism carried by lice. Ironically, Ricketts died at the age of 39 in Mexico City after himself being stricken by typhus. And in 1944, most wartime meat rationing ended in the United States. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey joins us to take a look at the weather forecast for today and the weekend right here in our part of the world. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Hi, Todd. There's lots of water to survey these days. That's
yeah.
For
hey,
sure.
Well, how much that rainstorm that came through yesterday dropped quite a bit of rainfall in some spaces, but not in others. Who picked it up?
Yeah, if you look at the state as a whole, we've got quite a bit of rain in our area around here. But I would say that, you know, there was some areas to the south of Champaign-Urbana that got probably a little larger amount, some of them up to 2 inches or more just south of here. There were some pretty good thunderstorms kind of built up along I-70 there that rolled through. And those are the big rain producers, so we had some places got 2 to 3 inches out of that. But a pretty widespread area of about a half an inch to an inch and a half across much of the central part of the state, and relatively quiet in the southeast and northeast part of the state.
And then rainfall that has been coming in the last, 18 hours, and what can we expect over the next 72 or so?
Yeah, there's another batch of rain pretty much in the eastern part of Illinois right now and back into Missouri and so forth. And the expected totals out of that are depressingly high. There's many areas in western and southern Illinois are going to see another 1 to 2 or maybe even 3 inches out of this next batch. Here in Champaign-Urbana, it's probably going to be closer to the inch to the half inch mark, but very wet to areas to the west. And, of course, right now with the kind of conditions we're in now with the saturated soils, it doesn't take too much to start runoff again. So even this little bit of rain we get is going to probably cause the rivers and streams to come back up for a while.
Any chance we'll get some heat and wind to dry it out?
You know, things look a little better if we get into next week. So kind of rainy and gloomy this weekend with a pretty good chance of rain all the way through the weekend. By Monday, we'll start to see highs get back up into the 70s and lows in the 50s, and maybe some sunshine by Monday and on into at least Thursday. They're expecting mostly sunny skies. So we've got several days there of warm, sunny weather, so maybe we can start to dry out those soils before the next system comes through next weekend.
That would be very, very good. And then the forecast a little further out, can you take a look maybe a week and a half out?
Yeah, if you look at the 6 to 10 day and the 8 to 14 day forecast, for Illinois anyway, they're actually pretty much near normal on the temperatures and on the precipitation side. They're, for the most part, at least in the eastern half of Illinois, an increased chance of above average precipitation. So we're kind of on the dividing line. Areas to the west of us are dry, areas to the east of us are going to be wet. So we're kind of on the dividing line, and so we'll see how that plays out. But at least we've got a week of some nice weather coming up.
Hey, thanks so much, Jim.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel is at the Illinois State Water Survey. The Prairie Research Institute joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org. We'll post Commodity Week there by about 6 o'clock this evening. I'm Todd Gleason.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.